You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, August 25th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. The pandemic has pushed Hollywood studios to make streaming services a much bigger part of their business models. But all that online content has also been a boon for digital pirates. On today's show, our reporter R.T. Watson will join us to explain how pirates have updated their tactics and what that could mean for the streaming services. It's after these headlines. Alphabet's self-driving car unit Waymo is opening its driver-supported robo-taxis to select riders in San Francisco. Riders chosen by Waymo will be able to use an app to hail a vehicle equipped with the company's latest autonomous technology, at no cost to the rider. Human drivers will be seated behind the wheel to take control if the program falters or fails to adapt to the conditions on the road. Waymo declined to say how many riders would be enrolled or how many cars would be eligible for the service. Our Google reporter Trip Mickle says it's an important test for Waymo's technology in a major city.
This is a pivotal moment for the company. According to insiders, this is what they've really been building towards. You know, they've been at this since 2009, so we're deep into this program. They poured billions of dollars into it. In fact, they're off a recent fundraising round where they raised $2.5 billion, and that's on the back of a not so distant fundraising round of $3.25 billion. So they're pouring a lot of cash into this. And according to people inside the company, they want to prove that they can offer robo-taxis in about half of the top 10 cities for Uber and Lyft in the world. And if they can do that and bring the cost down of all the technology that's on these cars, which includes, you know, LiDAR and lasers and cameras, and I mean, it's like $200,000 a car. They can bring that cost down, plus bring in fees from ride hailing without drivers in the front seat. They can build a business. That's a lot of ifs and variables, and that just kind of accentuates where this business is a decade into a research and development effort.
Samsung is looking to expand its chip manufacturing and pursue a bigger role in the production of COVID-19 vaccines. The company said it would boost its investment in those areas to more than $205 billion over the next 3 years, an increase of more than a third. The news comes as the historic chip shortage has elevated semiconductors to the top of national agendas, and as competitors like Intel and TSMC have also stepped up spending. And Urban Outfitters is taking on online resellers like Poshmark and ThredUp by launching its own marketplace for secondhand goods. The service, called Newly Thrift, will be released as an iPhone app this fall, and it'll join a growing list of peer-to-peer services from retail chains. The companies stand to collect commissions on resales, but at the same time, they risk cannibalizing sales of new merchandise. Urban Outfitters' chief technology officer said secondhand sales were happening whether the company is involved in them or not. All right, coming up next, digital piracy is at a high point. What movie studios and the big streaming services are doing about it? After the break.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great. And I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on ya. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom. Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
In the early aughts, most of the pirated movies on the internet immediately after release were pretty low quality. Think like someone using a camcorder to secretly record a movie from inside the movie theater. Unwatchable. It took months after a big release for DVD quality versions to start cropping up on piracy sites. But lately, that's changing. Bootlegged movies are showing up faster than ever with much higher qualities. And that's a problem for Hollywood studios and for the streaming services. Our reporter RT Watson has been looking into this, and he joins me now with more. Hey, RT, thanks for being here.
Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. So, RT, how have these pirates managed to up the speed and the quality of their bootlegging?
Well, in the past, pirates would have to wait for either a really high quality leaked version of a movie, which did happen sometimes. But I think oftentimes the top quality copies would not become available on pirating sites until a DVD was released, or people could download a digital version maybe that they purchased online. So now when you have a movie like The Suicide Squad or Black Widow debuting on a streaming platform at the same time it is in theaters, people have the opportunity to download or capture that high quality version the very first day it's out and then start pirating it on the internet. I watched essentially from the time Jungle Cruise became available. I think it was about midnight Pacific time, the day it was released, and sort of monitored in the following hours how many people were beginning to share new DVD quality files of Jungle Cruise. And you saw that just sort of escalate to the point where within about 12 hours, you had tens of thousands of people sharing it. The Suicide Squad, even more people were sharing that within the first 24 hours. And then we've seen, you know, Black Widow top the charts according to Torrent Freak, which is a kind of a news site that monitors piracy, that Black Widow is on the top 10 in the world of most pirated movies 3 weeks in a row after its release. So you're really seeing these big, high profile movies after they're being released. There's this huge proliferation of pirated copies online.
Wow. And how exactly are these pirators doing that? What's sort of the technology behind it?
Well, essentially, if you can download a copy of a movie, there's a way to then fashion a facsimile of that copy that you've downloaded. Or there's technology as well where you can just capture, you know, a stream of a movie, for example, that you're watching on your own computer, and then you just create a new file. Some pirating operations will then upload those to sites where you can stream. Some people are even trying to use these movies as a way to lure people into like malware scams, or people just create these digital files and then they share it through these torrent platforms like the Pirate Bay, where the more people sharing a particular copy of a movie, the easier it is to download, and people can do that from all over the world. So that, you know, essentially just having these digital copies, they're able to either create a stream for it or just put a copy online for people to grab themselves.
Got it. And, you know, as you alluded to, we've seen a lot of studios adapt this new strategy for releasing movies, you know, simultaneously releasing them on the streaming services as well as in theaters. Can you just remind us what we've been seeing there?
Yes. Well, Disney already wanted to build up its streaming service, and these other Hollywood studios had plans as well. And, you know, during the pandemic, with more people stuck at home, more people started to utilize streaming services. And that was an opportunity for the Hollywood studios to try to capture as many new customers as they could using these high profile movies. You know, certainly Warner and Disney are the two that have done this the most, trying to use those movies to lure new customers to their streaming service, because Hollywood has made it pretty clear that streaming is the future. They've seen what success Netflix has had, the kind of market capitalization they've realized, and shareholder value on a purely subscription-based model. So they're chasing that model. So they're trying to use whatever they have, whatever product, whatever movies they have to, again, attract new customers.
So I guess my big question there is that new release model sort of compounding this problem of piracy?
It's hard to say. There are studies being done right now to try to find out what sort of impact this simultaneous release strategy that Hollywood has implemented during the pandemic, like how that potentially has impacted piracy at large, or maybe how it's created losses to revenue in box office or home entertainment. But we don't know exactly sort of how big the losses are at this point. But it's pretty clear that if people are able to download something for free, they're going to be, in some cases, less willing to go to the theater or to pay money to see that online.
Sure. So what are we hearing from the studios and the streaming services? What are they saying about all this? And what are they doing to combat the problem?
actually, it seems that the studios have been pretty tight-lipped on talking about this subject publicly. I think that, especially in Hollywood, because Warner and Disney, and both in their own right, have taken a lot of heat for their decisions, both from the creative community and also theater owners who really rely on that exclusivity. So I think it's a sensitive subject. And so far, I haven't seen any studio, no studios, certainly during the course of the reporting, were willing to go on the record and really talk about their concerns and what they're doing. I know that internally they have anti-piracy divisions. They monitor these things. They try to get links taken down. They try to work with different organizations. So they're actively trying to combat it, but they haven't publicly come out and said, okay, we're really worried about what's happening recently, or our new strategy, which we've voiced confidence in, is it has a weakness to it. So I think for now, they're just kind of sticking to their guns.
All right. That's our reporter, RT Watson. Thanks, RT.
Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening.